Newsroom Footy, hosted by me, Sam Wicks,
and me, Tenero Aruna. Each week, we'll bring you Pacific Islander stories from on and off the rugby league and rugby union field.
We'll have plenty of special guests, tales from the past, tackle the big topics of today, and look forward to the next-gen Nijin Footy stars.
Nijin Footy. Nijin Footy.
Listen to Nijin Footy on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolele and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. And happy Independence Day to our Palau and Tuvalu listeners for yesterday. My name is Sam Wicks and I've shifted from rugby to radio and absolutely love bringing you stories from our Pacifica sports people here on ABC Radio Australia, on this show, on Nijin Footy, and of course on That Pacific Sports Show on TV. And if you've listened to the show before, you'll know I'm also joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific, and each co-host will share the latest local sports news in the islands, so let's get to them today. My first co-host is breakfast radio host and reporter from the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation. It is Cynthia Setter. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Alketa, and we're happy for come back, Moa.
It's great to have you back on with us. You do start your day by hosting the Brekkie radio show. It's really early. I don't know if I've asked you this before, but I'm just checking. Do you have a food routine? Do you fast before the show so the stomach doesn't rumble? How do you like to choose your food or not food eat before your radio show?
So I just maybe have water. I don't want to, you know, have breakfast before I go on air because, you know, sometimes it got your tongue sticky and you got to mumble when you go on radio. So I don't really like to have heavy breakfast.
I'm with you on that. I'm absolutely with you on that. So I just have one coffee and that'll do me until I finish all the shows. But it's good to know. But let's get to our other co-host who is making her fresh off the field debut. She's represented Samoa in rugby league and union, and now she's a leader for women and girls in sport in the Pacific, and I think this has to be the highlight of her career so far. Talofalava and welcome to Gabriel Apelu.
Oh, Talofalava and warm Pacific greetings, everybody. Great to be here, and actually, as Sam has said, looks like it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I'm glad I'm part of something warm in your life and probably up there with your highlight. But I just want to get to know you a little bit more before we get into the show. First question, just off the bat here. What is your favorite Samoan food?
No brainer, the oka. That's fresh fish and coconut cream. It has to be spicy.
Oh, love that. Question number two here. Who was your sporting hero growing up?
My father. My father's name is Waia Apelu, and he's the godfather of rugby union here in Samoa.
When did he play for Samoa? What era?
Well, he was in the early 80s, because dad is 80 this year. So he single-handedly, together with Faye Richright, developed rugby union from the 80s up until early 2000s.
Okay, maybe we need him back in there at some point. But that's a discussion for another time. But and then the last one, what was your proudest moment representing Samoa?
I think out of all the international tournaments I've been to, a very special moment was the 2009 mini games in the Cook Islands, only because we fought long and hard to come back from behind to win a gold medal. So that's a pretty special moment at that point. So.
Nice way to finish off. Nice little goal there. How good is that? We can't wait to have you more on regularly, but let's get to what's coming up on the show today. We'll meet John Fred, who is a coach in basketball in Papua New Guinea.
And then one of the areas where I see is coaching and referee, but I took up coaching. So it is one of the becoming coaches stuff. One of the things that always pushed me is the respect that I earn from my players.
Plus, the Pacific's strongest woman, Samoan Evangeline Taylor Patsy, tells us her story.
So strongman is always pushing our limits. We're always pushing to see what can you do, what can your body do. And really it's a celebration of what your body can do, especially for us women.
And Eddie Babanisi has established an association for blind and visually impaired sports people in the Solomon Islands.
I think one of the main dreams that I have is for these blind people to be able to participate into, you know, not only nationally, but regionally and internationally as well.
And there's plenty of other sports to cover, including basketball. That's a movie. Basketball, rugby union, cricket, netball, rugby league, and archery, plus our games, trivia. So let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
I can't believe I said basketball, but anyway, on Fresh Off the Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big, so let's see what's floating around on.
Coconut Wireless.
Yes, the Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news story in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Cynthia, we're going to start with you. What's the talk of the town in the Solomon Islands?
So here in the Solomon Islands, very interestingly, with a recent rugby competition that was held not long ago, a disciplinary action is now going into action for the teams that participate in the incident. And before the disciplinary action, a reconciliation meeting was held just recently between the Solomon Islands Rugby Union Federation, Covenant Rugby, and a local community here in Solomon Islands, Renville community, following this incident. This was during the recent Pacific All Sports National Men's Sevens Grand Final. And as he released his statement, the Vice President for the Solomon Islands Rugby Union Federation, Technical Affairs Moses Tepai, he said that he was part of the reconciliation event where he witnessed the Renville community coming together, reconciling with the Fiji's celebrated seven-star Waisea Nudungu after a disturbance happened on the pitch between those two teams. And the Vice President said that with addressing the situation, they underscored the Federation's commitment to elevate Solomon Islands rugby through strong partnerships with Fiji. But he says that they're looking forward to build these relationships so that they can raise the game of the standard of rugby in Solomon Islands. And so they just so happy that they've overcome the situation. And although the disciplinary action will be taken, he's so happy that both of the teams come together to, you know, apologize to one another and bring up the standard of rugby here in the Solomon Islands. So it's a way to go. And just yesterday, the Solomon Islands Rugby Union Federation has already released a statement giving clarification on the incident. So I believe that they'll work from there, and we're hoping to improve the standard of rugby as more competitions will happen here in the Solomon Islands.
Oh, it's good to hear it's heading in the right direction. Let's get over to you now, Gabs. We'll head to Samoa. What have you got for us there?
What have I got? The biggest news, obviously, is the Manu Samoa. Is the legacy in jeopardy? The Manu Samoa has been an exciting firm fixture in every Rugby World Cup since 1999. However, following the Rugby World Cup qualifying match, which I'm sure everybody has seen against Chile, which is a two-match showdown, the first saw a draw. The second game saw the withdrawal of 10 players prior to the final match. And obviously, there's a few reasons cited there, injuries, personal issues, as well as clubs recalling their players back. Unfortunately, in that game, that last game, the Manu lost to Chile, 31-12. And now the Manu stand to do or die in the final qualification round in Dubai this November against Namibia, Belgium, and whoever wins against Paraguay and Brazil. And that is it on everybody's mind, as well as our overseas Samoan. Pretty much, where does the Manu head to from here?
What is the feeling on the ground in Samoa? So we get a bit of the news here, and you know, I've talked to some past players about understanding the frustrations that is currently unfolding with the results. But what's the feeling like on the ground there amongst the people of Samoa?
I think there's a lot of frustration and a little bit of disappointment. You know, Manu Samoa is more than just the team for the country. It's a flagship. It is a symbol of Samoa out onto the world stage. So when they don't do so well, especially following the explosive entry into the World Cup in 1991, when they don't do so well, people are too fast, but when they don't do so well consistently, then over, you know, a very long period of time, a lot of questions get asked. But at the moment, everyone's a little bit frustrated and we're sort of like in limbo, sort of like we're holding bated breath here just to see how we go come November. It could be either up or down, so we're all kind of like hanging in there.
Well, fingers crossed all the players come back for that game and Manu Samoa at the 2027 Rugby World Cup in Australia, because there's going to be plenty of Samoan fans here waiting for them and we need them. So hopefully that all happens. But thank you for filling us in on what's flying around on the Coconut Wireless, Gabs and Cynthia.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific Sports.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And we'll start with you, Gabs. What else has caught your eye in Samoa?
Awesome. So, rugby league, which has gone from a very small sport in comparison to rugby union to exploding locally here in Samoa following the tour in 2022. So, following a very ambitious calendar set forward by Rugby League Samoa for this year, we have seen exceptional growth in the game, not only on the main island, but also in Savai, which is our bigger island, but not as populous. And then the calendar, having gone through club seasons for both 13s and 9s, we're now at the provincial level, and it's an exciting tournament called the Fantastic Four, which is pretty much sort of like an NPC, but around the four major districts of the country. So that's three teams from Upolu and one from Savai. And this is an effort to not only provide an active yearly calendar to grow the sport from level to level, but to also bridge the gap in the next few years to have more locally based players on potential pathways to the NRL. And so just a little, you know, a little results table for the Fantastic Four. Currently, top of the table is Tumua West, which is heading towards Sheraton. If anyone's been to Samoa, it's towards Sheraton out there, Aggie Grace, near the airport. Tumua Central, which is around town here in Upolu. And East, with Boleono at fourth in that order. Yeah, exciting news.
It is. And I just want to ask, actually, can you see rugby league taking over rugby union in Samoa?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a league convert myself. And just the way the model that rugby league utilizes makes the game more accessible, more entertaining, and just more less with the technical aspect of the games. It's a more flowing game, which makes it more exciting. And, you know, it's a game for the simple man, for the everyday. And, you know, us islanders, simple is best.
Yep,
and that's what we gravitate towards, yeah?
You're not wrong about that. Sometimes, because I'm a rugby union man myself, and sometimes the rules frustrate me as well.
Absolutely.
So hopefully, I don't want to see it take over, but it's always positive when there's plenty of options for our people aspiring or just wanting to have fun. But what about from across the Pacific? What have you got for us?
So, from across the Pacific, we go over to PNG in cricket. So the PNG Paramundis, they were shining in their Brisbane warm-up just a weekend gone against the Queensland, what's that number? Queensland 11 and the Queensland PC 11 as well. So they delivered an impressive performance with a thrilling two-run victory over Queensland 11 and then followed by a commanding win over Queensland PC 11. Their first test match will be against the Oman National Cricket side on the 11th of this month, which is the 11th of October. So this is a 2020 international season. So really exciting news coming out of PNG cricket.
Samoa there as well at the competition alongside alongside PNG in Oman. We'll keep everyone across all the scores. But I know they've is it in Samoa? What's the Samoan cricket? What's it called?
Kirikiti?
Yes, yes. How does that help transfer over to the global game of cricket?
Not much.
Fair enough.
Global cricket is just so technical. It's a completely different skill set. I think what is transferable is strengthen your arms, because you know the Samoan Kirikiti bat is heavy, is very heavy, and it's quite unwieldy to to hold. So
yes,
once you get a bit of a small,
I've seen that bat get used for other things outside of cricket. But anyway, that's a different story as well. But it's awesome to see New Zealand legend Ross Taylor also playing for Samoa. So hopefully he can add some much needed boost to their team. All right, let's get over to the Solomon Islands now with you, Cynthia. What do you want to share?
All right, so here in the Solomon Islands, we're expecting to see one of the famous twin will be traveling to Fiji for an upcoming archery Oceania competition. And I spoke to her this week talking about what she's looking forward to. She's hoping to make the country proud in participating in this first-time event for her. She just joined archery actually just a couple of years back, and it is her first time to travel for this competition, and she's looking forward very much to it. But she's having some difficulties trying to find funding to support her traveling to Fiji. And one of the ways in which she's trying to address this is by raising fund. And so she and her twin sister, Regina Leping, came up with an idea to cook food and do some traditional motu. It is traditional way of cooking food here in the Solomon Islands, to bake food. And they have all sorts of food in one box where they do it every Sundays to raise funds for supporting her traveling financially. So she's trying to, you know, raise more money so that she can meet her traveling allowances and stuff. So we're hoping that more Solomon Islanders will support her Sunday food box this coming Sunday.
Oh, make sure you get around that. Help out your fellow countrymen to be able to get over there and represent Solomon archery, because I think that might be the first time we've talked about archery on the show, I believe. I know Tonga did pretty well in Palau for archery, but I believe this is the only time we've really talked about it. And then on another note, is it Love Song Dedications in the background, is it? That I can hear some beautiful music.
Okay, so we're having a show called Blast from the Past. It's a lunch hour show on here that we play sorts of, you know, music that brings back past memories and stuff. So it's a Celine Dion song.
Oh, Celine Dion, perfect. It's bringing back all the memories. I'm going to play it on the way home after the show. But what else has grabbed your attention from across the Pacific?
Okay, well, from the Pacific, it's interesting to see, you know, more women leaders engaging in regional workshops and, you know, trainings that will empower them to use their talent and skills in leading other women in the Pacific. And one of the things that came out so far is the recent Wahine Toa Oceania 2025 graduates celebrating their excellence. And this one is the cohort for this year. Around 8 exceptional women leaders from across the Pacific are driving transformational change in regional sports development. And throughout this month of October, we'll be introduced to some of these change makers who will be sharing their insights into strategic projects and also showing us what their targeted leadership program is doing in terms of strengthening sports governance and athlete support systems across Oceania. So was delivered by the New Zealand Olympic Committee and funded by New Zealand International Development Corporation. So it's an 8-month course in 2025, which includes 2 in-person workshops in Fiji, plus 3 online learning sessions, mentoring, project work, and local connections. So the 8 women participated in leadership training, special projects in person, workshops, and a whole lot of fun. So I believe that this is a really important way forward for more women in the Pacific to lead in areas of sports.
Yeah, it's amazing to see these opportunities for our Pacifica women. But just on that, what is the biggest hurdle in your mind for our women at the moment?
So I believe that some of the areas that is challenging to our women in the Pacific could be, for example, in Solomon Islands. This area has been some of the barriers in the past years, but it has been improving now. It is our cultural norm that, you know, there we have the male-dominated society that most of our culture is based on. But I think with these type of workshops, it's starting to stir the minds of everyone to, you know, empower more women and allowing them the space for them to lead.
Yeah, a lot of positive changes there, going in the right direction. But as always, thank you so much, Cynthia and Gabs. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands.
The NRL finals are here on Radio Australia.
Catches Brendan Lee!
scores the try.
Gets the ball down in the corner.
And scores the game-winning try under the post.
Hear them all with the best commentary team in the business.
Try of the year.
Launches, plants it down.
Oh, what an amazing finish.
Don't miss a minute of the NRL finals.
Rugby league, you beautiful thing.
Right here on ABC Radio Australia, your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
All right, it's time to have a little bit of fun and see who's a good liar. And we're going to play Gyaman Stupwe, which is Talk Piss and Four Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. And the other two co-hosts will try to Gyaman Stupwe. And this is going to be the first time Gabs has played Gyaman Stupwe. So I'm looking forward to seeing if she is a good liar or not. We'll soon find out, but we're going to let Cynthia have the honours and go first, just so she can, so Gabs can get a feel of the game. So, Cynthia, what are your three things?
Okay, here I go. So, which is the lie? I guess the first three things that I have. I love travelling. I've only travelled outside of Solomon Islands twice. The second one is I am a lefty, and the third one is I have three brothers.
Well, there you have it. Some simple ones there. They all could be true, or the one's definitely alive because that's the name of the game. But, Gabs, what are you thinking here? As we think outside of the box and see which one will be a lie.
Well, she's very convincing, but I am going to go with the first one, that she's only travelled outside of the Solomons twice.
So, loves travelling and travelled outside of the Solomons twice. So is the question that you love travelling or hate travelling, or you've only been out twice?
So I've travelled. I love travelling, but I've only travelled twice.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's. I think you're on the money there, Gabs.
I think so. I think you are. She does love travelling, but yeah. I also think she.
But I'm going to say that she's, but she's right-handed. I'm going to go she's right-handed.
Why, didn't I sound like a lefty?
No, you sound right-handed to me. Lefties are more creative. So
what are you trying to say, Sam? That's,
I'm a right-handed and I know right-handed people. No, jokes. You're very creative.
Oh,
but just,
my goodness. So,
I'm just thinking.
You got me, Sam.
Oh, really?
Sam got you on the lefty. You're not a lefty.
Yeah. Look, I just know my right-handed people. That's all. There's a certain way you say.
I should talk a lot more with lefty people to know how they like.
You know what it is, Cynthia? Sam has more experience in creative
What's
stories.
This, where is this going? I was like, where is this going? All right, yes, I am great at this game, of course. I'm just going to talk myself up here, but hey, Gabs, there we go. You've seen what it's about. Yeah. Make sure your lie is very good and that you're convincing because I am very good at this game. Okay, so what are your three things?
I can never tell a lie, Sam, but here I go. I will try. Okay, my three things are, one, I have represented Samoa in wheelchair rugby. Two, I can recite the alphabet backwards in 7 seconds. And three, I was mentored by the Green Bay Packers.
Whoa. This has come out the gate here. These are all very good. That all of them in my mind should be a lie.
All true.
What do you mean mentored by Green Bay Packers? In what capacity? As in like coaching?
Yeah.
Okay. Can recite the alphabet backwards in 7 seconds. Wow, yep. That's impressive. I don't even know what's after before Z. And then rep Samoa and wheelchair rugby. Okay, Cynthia, I've got to let you go first here while I digest this.
Thank you, Sam. But this is kind of like really hard for me to guess, man. It's really hard. It's really hard, but I'll try. So is the first one wheelchair rugby or is it just rugby?
Wheelchair? Yeah.
Okay. So I think I'm going to go with the first one. I don't think you have participated in the wheelchair rugby anytime yet. Yeah, I'll go with the first one.
I'm going to go with the second one because there's no way you can get through. Is it 20? How many? 23?
It takes me 5 seconds to recite the ABC.
Because it's only going to take 7 seconds, I'm going to say that's a lie. And if it's true, you have to prove it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you guys set?
Oh, we're set. I'm going number two. You can't recite the alphabet backwards in 7 seconds. And Cynthia's gone that you haven't represented Samoa in wheelchair rugby.
All right. The answer is I cannot recite the alphabet backwards in 7 seconds. Not from the lack of trying.
I was saying the alphabet in my head. Forwards.
I was going to guess that one too, guys.
Come on, Cynthia. Are you serious? There's
I have a funny story on that.
No, I was gonna go with the second one, but
Thought for sure that there's got to be some truth to that. Right, can you give me a quick crack at it now? I just want to see how far you get backwards alphabet.
Backwards, yeah.
Yep.
Z Y W. That's as far as I know.
Z Y W. That's wrong. Oh my goodness. Oh, well, there you have it. There you have it. Thank you for playing. We learn something new every week.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
I'm still laughing about that 7 seconds backwards alphabet attempt. Unbelievable. All right, let's get to some serious stuff here. We've talked plenty about the latest news, so let's hear from some of the talented people in the Pacific. Cynthia, let's start with you. Who did you chat to this week?
So interestingly, this week, it's a busy week for the blind visually impaired people of Solomon Islands, BVPSI. Just weeks ago, they've established a very first association of sports that will engage more blind people in Solomon Islands to participate fully in sports. Out of the 300 people who are blind members of this sporting association, only 17 participants are able to participate in the first sports training under this association. I spoke to the technical advisor of BVPC, who's also the very first blind lawyer in Solomon Islands, Mr. Eddie Babanisi, who spoke to me about the progress of the sporting association so far. I started with asking him what the association stands for, what are the aims and goals of these associations are.
BVPC stands for Blind and Visually Impaired People of Solomon Islands, which is an organization which looks after the interests of the blind people in the country. Talking about sports, yes, we've established this sporting sports association, and the name is Solomon Islands Blind Sports Association. Currently, the organization has, has only started this year. I think it was 3 months ago, and we now have 16 to 20 members, and the members currently like once a week or once a fortnight they come together for sporting activities. The whole idea actually of this activity, which is currently held, is for the members to go into swimming, and that means teaching them how to go into the swimming pool, swimming techniques. And we currently have an expert who does this with them. But currently, the status is that they haven't gone into the swimming pool yet. They're still currently doing physical exercise. We thought that, you know, they have to be physically fit, you know, just for them to avoid cramps, muscle cramps, before while in the water. So, you know, they have to be prepared to go into the water physically fit first, before going into the water. So we currently have physical exercises, you know, running around the field, jogging, and doing all sorts of physical exercises. And we would like to thank Kukum Valley SDA School for allowing us to use their field. I would like to thank the principal who allows us to use the school field for this sporting event. One of the difficulties we have now, first of all, we have lack of equipment, not just in swimming, but in other sports that blind members would like to play. There's this sort of like soccer, which is called goal ball. Goal ball is equivalent to soccer for blind people, but you have to play it while lying down. To play this, to be to be able to participate in this event, you have to have the right equipment, like ball, the ball with bells, so that the blind people can hear, and they always depend on sound. So we need that. We currently do not have that equipment, and swimming wise, we do not have the right swimming wear, and we do not have the funds, like efficient funds to, because like, the aquatic center, we have been charged like a certain amount of fee. So we currently do not have the funds which can allow us to go into the waterfall for like longer periods.
Eddie, moving forward, what is your biggest dream to achieve, especially in terms of people with disabilities and especially the BVPC members to participate fully in sports?
I think one of the main dreams that I have is for these blind people to be able to participate into, not only nationally, but regionally and internationally as well. And I think in order for us to do that in the country here in the Solomon Islands, we need to do a lot of awareness raising, and we need to do a lot of advocacy, so that with the sporting organizations, that policies and legislations, they need to change, so that it'll be aligned with the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, and the policies can be accessible for these blind youths.
Awesome chat, Cynthia. Thank you so much for that. Now let's get to you now, Gabs. Who did you catch up with?
This week, I was honored to speak with dual title holder, Pacific Strongest Woman and Samoa Strongest Woman, Evangeline Teilapati, who is a midwife by profession, so she's catching babies by day and throwing 170 kgs by night. I started the interview to just get a feel of how she got into the sport of strongman.
So I actually started CrossFit with my husband. He started CrossFit before me, and I was typical Samoan, very musu to do CrossFit because I saw there was a lot of running, a lot of burpees, and I'm not built for that, but I went anyway because it was COVID, and it was also around that time, how the island was locked down.
Yes.
And we wanted to focus on health and fitness, and it was a good introduction. And then from there I met Misa Peter, and he brought the sport to Samoa with his brother-in-law Ryan Walker, and so that was in, I think it's exactly 2 years since the induction. September 2023 was the first time I picked up a strongman implement, and then from there found that my body's actually built for this.
No.
And I think they knew that. I think the boys knew, because Samoa, we have a lot of raw strength here and a lot of untapped talent here in terms of lifting and strength training. I mean, you've seen it in our weightlifting.
Yes, it's just, I quite like that one too.
Yeah.
So Evangeline, with strongman, what is your favorite exercise?
Okay, I found that I'm actually very good at farmer's carry, but the farmer's carry is grip strength, and you're carrying two implements, one in each arm, and you carry it for distance. So I found that I have a very good grip, and I'm and it's good because I think because I grew up doing fiaos and laoing things, picking up things, and doing all that stuff in the loko and also in my family, and so I really gravitate towards that type of lift, so the picking up and the moving.
For those of us who are not too familiar with how strongman works, can you just give a brief summary of what the sport actually entails?
Okay, so strongman is more power. It's about power, it's about explosive strength, explosive power. So you have about 60 seconds to 90 seconds per event to demonstrate this explosive power. So there's a lot of max lifts and lifting logs, lifting heavy stones, lifting like the farmer carries. Yeah, yeah. And even now, our next competition coming up next month, there's a duck walk.
Yes.
It's lifting a heavy implement in between your legs, and you are basically waddling their weight across. So that really activates hamstrings, glutes.
That's crazy.
That's very crazy. You know, that's my worst lift.
Yeah.
Just, you know, now that I'm thinking about best lift, worst lift, the duck walk I find really, really difficult.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see because some people are naturally really good at it. So I've seen women pick up this duck walk and just run with it. So strongman is always pushing our limits. We're always pushing to see what can you do, what can your body do. And really it's a celebration of what your body can do, especially for us women.
On that note, so you were the inaugural Samoa Strongest Women Champion from 2023. How was your first competition when you, like, was that, did you set out to win that one or were you just trying it out?
No, so the first one for me was just about being maopopo and just being a part of that historic event. I did not set out to win it, but the events were actually in my favor. And you know, I did sports when I was growing up, so that competitiveness never leaves you. And you know, we competed together. And I think in that first initial the strongman, the strongest, oh no, the mightiest heroes,
Samoa's mightiest heroes. Yes.
Okay, my biggest the thing that I really, really wanted was the shirt.
That's true. Big bonus.
And then I won and I was like, oh, what a bonus.
Do I get another shirt?
So, but the shirt was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
At the beginning, I was just like, oh, this will be fun. Yeah. This will be. And then I saw the live score and I was coming in fourth because, you know, the girls were really bringing it.
Yeah.
And that competitiveness really just came through. And I thought, okay, the last two events, I really need to push.
Following the inaugural competition, have you seen a growth of the sport?
We have an upcoming comp in October 25th, Too Strong. All the events are tailored for two, and it's one partner working, one partner resting, and you go back and forth for 90 seconds. But it depends on the event because there's also a max push press event, and it's your combined max weight that will be your points.
So that upcoming competition, Evangeline, that's on the
25th of October.
Held here in Samoa.
It'll be at Whatutua in Waitele.
To move towards the Pacific Strongest Group.
I think we had 30 plus athletes, but we had competitors from overseas, New Zealand, Australia, and it was a pretty cool. That, in terms of international strongman, that was our first ever international weights competition. So the Mightiest Heroes and Big Chief were sort of introductory weights, trying to get people into the sport, whereas Pacific Strongest was the actual weights that people are lifting overseas. So for women, our deadlift we had to do for max was 170 kilos.
No way.
For max reps.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that is, you know, overseas, that's massive.
That's huge.
It was really just their own personal bests trying to beat that. You know, it wasn't I want to go there to win the competition. It was, what can I do
to survive? I know there's some potential international competitions that you're heading towards or thinking of. Are you able just to share a little bit of what the future sort of holds for you? Because I know you've done the Pacific one.
I've done Pacific Strongest, and because I won Pacific Strongest, I was able to secure an invitation to the Extinct Games. So that's held in Singapore, and it's the strongman in Asia.
Nice.
So it's the Asian, but unfortunately I won't be able to attend this year because of family commitments. So, but that's okay. And we're looking at hopefully next year having a pathway to the official Strongman Games, which is OSG.
Yeah.
I did compete in Australia beginning of the year in Melbourne at Battle of the Bay, which was also a really cool experience. And that was essentially my first overseas international comp, and I really enjoyed that.
So, you know, I know you're very passionate about women in sport. I know you're
Also very passionate about encouraging other women to participate in sport, especially your sport as well. What do you think you want to use your platform for? Like, what are you hoping to advocate as a strong woman?
As a strong woman, I want to advocate for being strong and feminine. There is this misconception that if you are strong, you also have to be very masculine. But for Samoa, tene Samoa, te maitai Samoa, has always been rooted in femininity.
Yes.
And I really want to bring women in and show them that they can be strong and still be women.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to be like our brothers. Yes. That's what our brothers are, that they take up that space, and we have this space where our strength is in our femininity.
That was unbelievable. How good was that? Thank you so much for that, Gabs. And this week, we were lucky to have an interview with Lisa Cooney, a journalist from PNG who was part of the Women in News and Sport program run by ABC International. She caught up with Papua New Guinea basketball coach John Fred. Here is their chat.
Hello, I'm Lisa Cooney, and today I will be speaking to one of Papua New Guinea's most versatile and inspiring sports figures, John Fred. From shooting hoops on the courts of Kalgeri to standing on the sideline as a coach, his journey shows that passion for sport can take many forms. John's journey began in Kalgeri, where he first discovered his love for basketball. After years of playing, he made a pivotal transition, trading in his jersey for the coaching duties, becoming known for his fairness, composure, and deep respect for the game. Today, he stands as a role model, not just for players, but for aspiring officials across PNG. John, welcome. Now, you started out as a player. What first drew you to basketball, and what kept you motivated in those early years?
I think one of the things that drew me to basketball is the industry that I came from, where we all grow up with basketball from early age as 5, 6. So in our communities, we have the community competition where we have under 8, under 10, under 12, and all the way to senior level. So the program, all the kids know how to play basketball. And that's something that drew me to basketball.
That love for basketball eventually saw you swap journeys for coaching duties. But the role there wasn't easy. Let's talk about that transition. When did you first consider becoming a coach, and what made you take that leap from playing to officiating?
I started coaching in 2023. So I post basketball after 40 my grade 12 in 2019. From 2020, 21, 22, I was studying full time, and that's where I coached basketball. So when I came back to the port, it was really hard for me to get back there. And then one of the areas where I see is coaching and referee, but I took up coaching. So it is one of the becoming coach is tough. One of the things that always pushed me is the respect that I earn from my players.
What were some of the biggest challenges you faced in making that transition, both on and off the court?
Well, yeah, one of the biggest challenges I faced is time management. And poaching is not easy from pain. In poaching, you have to more like manage your time wisely and also look up at the pause as well.
Many athletes struggle with stepping away from playing. How did you personally adjust to this new role and identity in sports?
I think for me, moving out, one of the things that pushed me is winning a premiership for my debut year as a coach. So when I made my debut year debut in 2023, during a tournament, National South Basketball League. So on my debut year as a coach, I won one of the biggest officiating basketball tournament. And that was the pushing factor from there.
Now as a coach, you see the game from a completely different perspective. Let's talk about the impact you've made. What's been your most memorable game to officiate so far, and why?
And, one of the most memorable moments or game that I have achieved is coaching the school team of University of Papua New Guinea during last year. That is, we had a university competition for all the schools, and I was the head coach of University of Papua New Guinea. So during that time, I lead both our male and female team to grand final. Unfortunately, for our male team, we lost to IDSU, and for our female team, we beat PLU. So that is one of the memorable moments in the coaching career.
How do players and communities respond when they see one of their own from Calgary step into such a respected role?
One of the things that I saw from a community when I became coach from players, the respect was totally different. They see me from a perspective of coaching and more like a leader. So I always feel like most of my people, we are all together playing level, players level. And when I became coach, the respect was different.
Have you noticed changes in how younger players view coaching, maybe even considering it as a category themselves?
Yeah, I think it is a tough, but coaching has a lot of purpose, a lot of opportunities. And that's something that I see for players. For me personally, I cannot make team change when I was coaching. And when I became coach, I see that the chances of me to become a national coach is not that far. It's just coach. Right at my daughter.
Coaching, like playing, needs the right support to grow. Let's look at the opportunities and what's still missing. What kind of training or mentoring have you received as a coach? And what more do you think is needed for officials in PG?
I mean, for me personally, I haven't received any qualification yet, but I do attend one. I forget the slogan and the name of the post. But since I was also studying full-time at the university, I have to forego that course and focus on my studies. I think one of the things that needs to be here for coaches is more workshops and training. Yeah, training that leads to authentic issues.
Okay, your story highlights something bigger, the importance of pathways in sport, not just for players, but for coaches and officials too. Why do you think developing coaches is just as important as developing athletes in PNG basketball?
I think one of the biggest thing in basketball, when you want to become a national coach, you have to have qualification. And this is something that the federation or the basketball body needs to do. Where coaches have qualifications. So when they want to host the national team or other events hosted by the basketball body, TIBA, then they will be qualified.
Looking ahead, where do you see yourselves and PNG basketball coaching in the next 5 years?
And my aim and goal is to become one of the national coaches probably in future. It's not that easy. I still have a lot of things to learn, a lot of room for improvement.
John, we look forward to seeing you achieve your dreams, whether it's on the sidelines with a coaching board in hand or shaping the next generation of coaches in PNG. Your journey from player to coach is proof that passion for sport can open new doors, and we can't wait to see where it takes you next.
All right, thank you so much, Gabs and Cynthia. Some wonderful stories from across the Pacific.
Want the latest Pacific Rugby League and Union news and interviews with stars of the game? Tune in to Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirau Arona.
Now, the Arona Cup, Sharks versus the Roosters, I did say that.
Arona Cup every week, man. Honestly, yeah, the grand final in the week. I swear, I don't know how many times we play for this cup.
Nation Footy, Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off The Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, we're going to play Fresh Off The Dome before we finish up. It's our quiz where every week I'll ask three questions and Gabs and Cynthia, you use your name as the buzzer. And if you think you know the answer, you can play along at home as well. So make sure you use your name. And Gabs, I just want to test your buzzer for a second here.
Gabs.
That's why you wanted to shorten it, so you can get in there nice and fast. Beat Cynthia for this one. All right, Cynthia, I just want to check your buzzer as well to see if you're ready to go. Can we hear your buzzer?
Cynthia.
Oh, perfect. Really good energy there. Let's get into Fresh Off The Dome. Question number one. This one's a multiple choice. The TSI Lamana Dockers secured the minor premiership last weekend in what Papua New Guinea sporting competition? Is it A, soccer/football, B, AFL, or C, touch footy?
Cynthia?
Gabs.
Oh, I've got to go with Cynthia there. She got in early.
So I'm just going to go. Is it an AFL?
Are you locking that in, AFL? Lock it in?
Sorry, can you ask the question again?
We're just going to lock that in there. It was AFL, yes! Don't doubt yourself.
Second chances.
Just go with it. Just say it, be confident. If not, we move on. But we'll give you that one there. It was AFL. And congrats to the Dockers who broke a 9-year drought for the club. And their finals start soon. So there we have it over there for AFL. This one's closest to question number two. The Youth Netball World Cup finished earlier this week and Cook Islands finished the best out of all the Pacifica teams. What position did they end up finishing? Someone.
Cynthia?
Oh, Cynthia. We've got to go with you again.
I thought this was a multiple choice.
Nah, this one's closest to... I don't know what's happening in Samoa, but I hope those ears aren't painted on and that you're still willing to play this game over there, Gabs. But, Cynthia, you got in here. What's the answer? Where did the Cook Islands finish?
So, this is just a rough guess. So, maybe just very close to the ending line, maybe. Second. I'm guessing second.
You're guessing second. Second place. Yep. Okay. Gabs, what are you guessing here?
I'm going to say about seventh.
Ooh, that's so close. They finished eighth.
Yeah.
Okay, they finished eighth. So, Gabs, you're going to take that one there. They'll close us too, okay? Second, very optimistic. That was New Zealand, I believe. Australia finished on top. Samoa was ninth. Then Fiji 11th and Tonga was 13th. So their best ever finish. So congratulations to the Cook Islands. And it is one apiece. I must say, this is one apiece. Here we go. Winner takes all on this true or false question. The next Micronesian Games are in Nauru in 2026. True or false?
True. Gabs. True.
Whoa. Buzzers, true, quickness. Gabs, but I've got to go with Gabs. I've got to go with Gabs here because she used her buzzer. So what did you say?
True.
Cynthia, what are you thinking?
Well, I think I'm going to go with false.
It's like a question.
It is a 50-50. Sometimes being quick is not the best strategy, but in this case it wasn't, and it was false. It was originally scheduled.
Thank you, Gabby, for the answer.
I just wanted to use my buzzer.
Everyone was, true. But then obviously the buzzer has not played in your favour this time, Gabs. It was originally scheduled for 2026, but they have been pushed back to 2028 to allow more time for Nauru to get the right infrastructure in place.
So there you have it.
It is Solomon Islands 2. Samoa won, so there we have it.
Done,
what a show. What an absolute blast. Gabs, you absolutely smashed it on here, though. That's a great debut. That was better than my debut, I think, in my rugby career, which I did. I got pulled off at halftime, so I got dragged, so it wasn't a great debut for myself. But anyway, that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, breakfast radio host and reporter for the SIBC. Thank you to my Cynthia Seta.
Thank you, Tomas.
Beautiful. And thanks to my other co-host, former footy player and now leader in all things women's sport in Samoa and beyond, Fafatai Lava, and congrats on your first ever Fresh Off the Field episode, Gabriel Abelu.
Thank you, Stan. Fafatai Lava.
Thanks for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.